Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 26th of March, recording at 10:33 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, as you know, the Friday audio is always devoted mainly to the big picture, although I will make some short-term comments, as I always do. But first, on the big picture, starting with global stock markets. First, I maintain that Wall Street is in a secular bear market, as in a very long-term bear market. And I also maintain that we are in the latter stages, if we haven't even already completed the very good and very predictable cyclical bull within that long bear market. So we had 3 years on the downside following the bursting of the bubble, mainly the NASDAQ bubble back in March of 2000, and then as the war to liberate Iraq got underway, we had a terrific rally commence. It was extremely orderly with a little wobble last through September, October, and November, and then getting a good run into year end in January, and then losing momentum and breaking the uptrend on all the U.S. indices, with the Dow Jones Transports giving one of the leads on the downside. Now, the big question is, was that it? Or is this just a pause, a bigger reaction, and consolidation? I don't know the answer to that. Nobody knows the answer. But in technical analysis, as Chris Roberts said yesterday, the easy bit is monitoring the trend, and once the trend goes, then it all becomes harder. Well, he didn't say exactly that in terms of the latter part, but words to that effect. Predicting things once you're out of a trend is tricky. Have we established a new downtrend? Well, yes, we had some short-term downtrend activity. But my hunch is that markets will probably pick up a bit, and the reasons for that would be the low interest rates that we still have, the credit creation that's going on, the strong desire, it may even turn into an obsession, for the U.S. administration and the U.S. Treasury to keep Wall Street healthy right on up to the November election. Now, there are limits to what they can do, obviously. But they're also going to have Alan Greenspan on their side, because Alan Greenspan will be worried about this economic recovery in the U.S. running out of steam. And as you know, it's an economic recovery that's been fed on steroids. And that's harder to keep going once you take the steroids away, or it's hard to keep the whole thing pumped up, I should say, once you take the steroids away. So, are there any signs, or is this just wishful thinking on my part, since I still contain about half a portfolio relative to what I had had earlier on and throughout most of last year, certainly from May and June onwards? And yes, there is, in the form of yesterday's upward dynamics. Those were impressive, as I mentioned, and also some of the Asian markets, although not the early leaders that we saw last year, have been performing really quite splendidly. And that includes Japan, and this had another eyebrow-raising gain in here today, 239 points, up over 2% in Japan. Now, Japan really is the flavor of the month in here, and the debate around our office today, where a few of the people had also gone in and purchased some Nikkei futures. You might remember I did that, I think it was on, I guess it was on Tuesday, I bought the Nikkei futures. And fortunately, they've run in consecutive days straight through to a new high, so it's a good breakout on the charts. On the charts, there's also some resistance evident up near the 12,000 level, or potential resistance, I should say. Currently, well, we closed today at 11,770, so we're still 230 points away from that. Well, another day like today, and we'd be there. But some people, as I say, were taking a few profits in here today. I have decided to hold on, but I should nudge up my stop. I overlooked doing that today, busy with other activities, and obviously including this site. Now, the dynamics that we saw yesterday on some of the markets, and I've put charts up here today so you can see all of those, are the first encouraging evidence that we've had really in a couple of months. Now, my rule of thumb on dynamics is first back a clear dynamic from a trading perspective. That doesn't mean you turn over a major medium to long-term portfolio play on a single dynamic, but a dynamic is one of those things that causes people to reassess, and on that day at any rate, it indicates that something has changed in the supply and demand relationship. Now I'm talking about contra-trend dynamics. So we've had a short-term downtrend, we had these powerful upward dynamics. NASDAQ had one of the best, but you can see that some of the European markets had seen them as well. Now, as I say, that's the first real improvement that I've seen since these short-term downward trends commenced. And my rule of thumb on dynamics is to say is you back it, and until that dynamic is countermanded or reversed by at least an equal dynamic in the opposite direction. Now that certainly hasn't happened, although we had some very small declines in the European and US stock markets here today. Is the dynamic a tradable signal? Yes, it is, although this is a very high risk for trading. When I went into the Nikkei, I mean, a little bit of luck, because I was saying, well, do I buy one of these things that's fairly sort of bombed out here, or do I go for something that's showing the overall relative strength? Well, that was an easy choice, really. I went for the overall relative strength. But again, I was asking that question following Japan's move, following the dynamics that we'd had yesterday, should I consider something that's a bit stretched and oversold on the downside, such as the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index? That's another old favorite of mine, as you know, although the fact that it's an old favorite should be entirely irrelevant. But it has been stretched on the downside, and I do like the Asian theme generally. But it had a soft day in here today. It was actually down 37 points, although it's back near some support. The better, the more chunky portion of the support starts to come in around 12,000, and this is currently at 4,000. I beg your pardon. The support comes in at 12,000 initial support, and this closed today at 12,483. So some 483 points above that support, which it may or may not actually get to. The cautious way to approach this would be to wait until we see an upward dynamic by the Hong Kong Hang Seng, if we're going to go in and back that and then do so. But you see the way I'm thinking here overall. I am not convinced that we have entered what is going to be a major sustained decline in here at this stage, but I maintain that the overall environment is risky. I do a little bargain hunting, as I have done recently with that Nikkei. Well, not so much bargain hunting, as it wasn't a depressed index at that, or at a depressed level when I picked it up, but a little opportunistic speculation. When we have seen a general correction and when something's looking particularly good, but I'm also very keen to lighten positions on further rallies. Fortunately, most, although certainly not all, of my few remaining equity positions are doing reasonably well in here, particularly in the speculative sense, for instance, the Newmont Mining, where I have one of my larger equity speculative positions on a spread bet, and what I picked that up a couple of weeks ago, I think, and that's a little bit longer than that, 3 weeks ago, but that had a good gain in here yesterday, and a bit of follow-through on the upside today. So I'm keen to lighten all of these things on strength. Now let me move on to the bond markets, or I don't want to set another record for length of audio here. And this is very interesting, and it'll also be a factor in terms of what actually happens with the equity markets. But I forgot to say, in the equity markets, I think the really big danger periods is going to be 2005 and 2006. And there's we'll all pass a lot of water between now and then, as Samuel Goldwyn would have said. Forgive me for that, but the hour is late. Now, the JGB chart, Japanese government bonds, you've got that up on the site, and this really took a thumping hit in here today. And it's quite interesting because it had rallied, it had a little bit of a sell-off, it got down close to the 138 level where you'll see a little bit of chart support. This is the futures contract, of course. And then it rallied for four consecutive days and gave up the whole thing and a bit more here in today's sell-off. Well, obviously the strength of the Nikkei is a factor in here. But I've been maintaining for a long time that the JGBs are an accident waiting to happen. Now, of course, as cynics will know, there are a good many analysts who've been saying for years that JGBs were an accident waiting to happen. And I tilted at that windmill one or two times myself, with short positions, and generally lost money. And if I escaped with a profit, I felt like I'd done a Houdini. So, what about now? And I've got a short position there, and it's mild, modestly in the money following today's decline. But the chart looks interesting because we've got a lower high, potentially two lower highs now in the last month, and we had that big peak back in June. And so I maintain that this is a right-hand top extension phase. And we had that gradual rally from the beginning of September that you can see on the chart. And then that high in the end of February. And I tell you, this is exciting stuff if you're into markets and charts. And if you're not, you'll think, well, it's sad, isn't it? But I will persist. Now, we break through this 138 level, and that's going to register on a lot of people's screens. And in terms of sentiment, and that would be some clear the first well the clearest evidence, maybe the only evidence, the only real evidence I should say, since that low in the futures, which would have been of course a high in the yield back in early September, that this is beginning to unravel again. And that's the way it should look. You get these right-hand extensions, they take for months, they take much longer than the initial leg down, and then it's the market starts to roll over and then to range downwards and probably fall faster than it went up. Now, so what on all this? I think as far as the Japanese stock market is concerned, it would probably be positive. And the money would be coming out of JGBs and going back into equities, and the Japanese have not been buying their equity market at all, so that could be quite a good source of fuel, which would, in a neutral market elsewhere, in other words, if Wall Street manages to just to range at worst, then Japanese stocks could get quite a run and easily take out that 12,000 level that I was talking about. Now, the U.S. Treasury bond market, where I've also got a short position. Again, these are early forays in here, and these are positions that I intend to build up over time. But I'm losing a bit of money in that trade, so that's at least offsetting what I'm making in the JGBs. And that's revealing in the sense that the JGBs are the better trade. They've got the better chart evidence overall, and they're the worse value overall. And just think about it, too. Well, think about all the money that the Japanese are printing and that the US government is printing, and think of all the borrowing that these governments have been doing. It's not a healthy situation for bond markets. The bond markets are grossly valued, but they've been holding up very well recently. Well, that's going to end at some stage. And the JGBs are suggesting that that process may be starting now. And the US evidence is much more tentative, but you would not get a big decline in the JGB futures, I'm pretty certain, without the US market and others following, because these global bond players will, if they hit one, they'll start to hit the others. And I think on Wall Street, the prospect of a sell-off in the bonds would not have the favorable implications for equities that it would in Japan. It's possible that Wall Street could react favorably for a short period, getting some money again coming out of bonds and switching into equities. But overall, the specter of bonds coming down, inflation going up, and there was a little bit of comment on that in here today. The U.S. bond market was quite soft in here today, and that would not be a good story for equities, although, as I say, they could hold out for a very short period. Okay, moving on now, the euro dollar. And I've put up a point and figure chart there, and I have had requests for more point and figure charts. And yes, I want to see more point and figure charts, because myself, and particularly, and we produce them, thousands of them. And the thing is, what I find is when we're at a difficult juncture, or if we feel a trend may be changing, that you'll probably get a lot of, you'll see a lot of conflicting evidence. And my contention for years and years, I mention this in the chart seminar all the time, that nothing really important is going to take place that won't show up on a relatively condensed point and figure chart. And the ones I prefer, as you know, are of course the three-box reversal charts, and we use some flexible scales, but there's a good one up there for euro dollars. And you'll see at a glance, and you don't have to be any expert on point and figure charts or charts in general to see that it looks a little bit top heavy in here, although it's arguably still within a long-term primary upward trend. If you look at the candles, the weekly candles, not going to look that indifferent or that different from the point and figure chart. But the thing about PNF is it does distill out some of the mental noise. Now, if you're close monitoring a short-term trend, then it's good to have that, perhaps that extra noise on the chart to be able to watch. But in terms of the big picture background, the PNF can often be in a class of its own. It doesn't look that healthy. And if you look at the daily candlestick chart of Eurodollar, you see it's just clinging here at these recent lows that we've been seeing down. Let me just bring up that level where it goes in at the 121, sort of 30 level. And it really does need an upward dynamic to indicate that there's support here at hand. Now, when you look at those charts, nothing is easy in this business, is it? When you look at those charts, you see that you do start to come into some interesting support near the 120 level. But as I've said yesterday and on other broadcasts, we need to think really in terms of these contra-trend reactions, assuming that it is just a contra-trend reaction rather than an actual significant peak in the euro. And I'm not prepared to ring that bell at this stage. But if it is just a contra-trend reaction, that those can easily last for 3 to 6 months. And therefore, this is a tricky one, and I'm glad I'm not playing it. If I did play it, I might, with a pistol at my head, have a small short position in the euro against the dollar, because another point I've made recently, what I've made over and over again, is that no central bank wants a strong currency in this environment. Only, as I've also said all along, that some are willing to do more about it than others. And the ECB has shown a willingness to do more about it than the others recently. Okay, let's also bring in an important currency in terms of the dollar against the Japanese yen. Now that's trading at 106, close at 106.01 in here today. So that's about a yen above the pressure point here for the Japanese, and they have been making aggressive noises as you know, about intervention, but their problem in this exciting drama is, of course, that people are piling into, foreigners are piling into the Japanese stock market, so they're buying yen and going in, and they're not, because they're bullish of Japan, they're bullish of the yen, so they're not hedging those positions. And therefore, the Bank of Japan is going to have to be even more aggressive if they want to stem the yen's strength. Now, I hope they do, because I'm currently on the wrong side of a euro-yen trade, as you'll probably recall. Not seriously on the wrong side of it, but I never like being on the wrong side of any trade in here. And I'm finding it easy to resist the temptation to add to it. I did not go in aggressively. I never go into things aggressively relative to capital. I'll go in cautiously, have a nibble, and if it's starting to work, then I can, on these, I'm talking now about leveraged positions, as currencies trades certainly are. And if it's going in my favor, then I'll protect the initial stake, or I should have the initial stake protected anyway. But I can raise the stop if it's going in my favor, or lower it if it's a short position, and then consider it opportunity, or look for an opportune moment to add to the position. So try to build up a position within a trend conservatively. If the trend doesn't continue, then I either made a duff call, there wasn't anything in it for other reasons, and I'll be shaken out, and hopefully not with more than a slap in the face rather than a haymaker. On the other hand, you latch on to a good trend, and anybody can do that. If I can do that, you can do that. Anybody can do that, and you do. You latch onto a good trend, build that position conservatively. And if that trend, what do I mean by a good trend? It continues, and it's reasonably orderly. Then you can build up quite a substantial leveraged position, and that's the object of the game. Okay, now in other markets, the metals. This is interesting in here today, and I had a call from Jeff Fisher, who's a good friend of mine, known him for years, still quite a young guy, early 30s, I think very early 30s, but a lot of experience in the markets, very, very savvy, and he's a Ludwig von Mises fan, and goes to the main von Mises site and just absorbs all the stuff written by this brilliant Jewish economist who is writing in the early part of the last century. And the only relevance in mentioning that he was Jewish is that Jeff was telling me how objectively he was writing about the whole phenomenon of National Socialism and so on. But What Jeff had said to me, Jeff has a lot of gold, and he'd said that while he certainly agreed with my premise in terms of supply inelasticity, he did not agree with my premise that gold would underperform all the other metals in this cycle, and I've mentioned that on a number of occasions here recently. And he put in a reason, a logic to this, which is absolutely irrefutable. I would say this is probably not a hugely important factor at this stage, although it could become one relatively quickly, but it will be a hugely important factor eventually. Well, what's the hugely important factor, David? And that is, Jeff said, when all this creation of paper money that we're getting from the Bank of Japan and we're getting from the U.S. Federal Reserve, and Jeff says the Swiss National Bank's doing exactly the same thing, and we see the euro moving from hard money advocate to soft money advocate in here. So the end product of this is, of course, going to be much, much greater inflation, a much higher level of inflation than most people are forecasting in here today. And Jeff's point, and he's absolutely right on this, is that when people really do flee the paper currencies, they're not going to flee into crude oil, they're not going to flee into copper or nickel, they're going to flee into gold. And you could add silver as well, but gold will be the big one. So when, so say inflation does become a problem, and of course the big guessing game is this going to be 10 years from now? Is it going to be 15 years from now? Is it going to be a few months from now? Well, I think Jeff thinks it's going to happen sooner than I do. But nobody knows the answer to that. But it is going to happen at some stage. I think that's absolutely inevitable. And the central banks are inviting inflation. And this is all predictable, too, because when people are worried about slow growth and job availability, and they're concerned about, let alone concerned about deflationary pressures, if that mindset persists for quite a while, then central banks, which have a bias towards inflation anyway, as do all political administrations, a good way to get out from underneath your debts and to appease the mob, as it were, with government spending, and of course they all need to borrow very often to do that, and then you inflate the debts away. So it's an old story. As long as there's been money and currency, we've had this story. But so they have a bias towards inflation, and they're positively inviting inflation. Japan would give anything to have a bit of inflation in here right now. And the US has targeted inflation. So you know they're going to overdo it. They're going to overcook it on this, because the very nature of the games is not something that you can do at just the right amount, get just the right measurement, because we're talking about human reactions as well. And people will ignore it and ignore it, just the way they ignore the fact that a secular bull market has ended, and then eventually the penny drops and they become very, very bearish or sell very aggressively. Well, the same thing will happen, that people will ignore the incipient inflation in the cycle. And much the way the frog in the pot that's gradually warming up ignores the problem for a while and swims around, and then of course tries to make a mighty leap out. And therefore, gold, you, whatever I say about my enthusiasm for various alternative metals in here over the short to medium term, I think all of us want to have a stake in gold, or this investor trader certainly does. Okay, and what did we have from gold today? 422.35. Now, what's interesting on this? That was up $6, incidentally, 6610 in here. Now, what's interesting is that people have been saying, "Well, gold's just a dollar story." And have a look at the chart of gold in euros. Now, you'll notice they've got a five-year chart in there on the website. And you'll notice that it's certainly up over the last 5 years, but it's been moving sideways for several years, but it's pushing up towards the higher side of that range. And looking at that chart, I mean, that's just straight V bottom, long right-hand extension, and there's going to be an almighty breakout on the upside at some point. I'm not prepared to blow a whistle on that one yet. It's a lot easier to see that eventually, envisage that eventually happening, rather than to predict the precise moment of that happening. But the point is, gold is still in an accumulation zone. Every time gold dips, we want to be thinking in terms of buying it, not getting shaken out of our long positions. And if gold, like anything else, if it runs ahead very quickly, we want to be pulling a little bit of it out. Now, the other metals in here, palladium, it's just been ranging in a quite tight range. It closed at 291.20. That was up $2 here. So, not far from that psychological $300 level. And I think it'll take it out relatively soon. And the other metals, with the silver, again, this has been rock steady in here, up 11.5, 771. Palladium didn't do much, actually down a fraction in here today. Among the industrial metals, and I just put up my industrial metal screen in here. a wee bit on the downside, only $20. That's the one that's accelerated on the upside. The others are just generally steady, but overall they're in consolidation patterns. Okay, rounding out the commodities, what about oil? A little bit steadier in here today. Oil had backed away from its highs that we saw late last week and earlier this week. I've got a small long position there. I'm not tempted to add to that overall. I think oil's going to move higher. If it does, that's bad for bonds and that's bad for the stock market. If I'm totally wrong and oil prices move lower to any meaningful extent, that'll be good for bonds and that will be good for the stock markets. And what oil does is going to be critical to the whole equation here as far as economies are concerned, expectations regarding inflation or deflation. Now, last and least tonight, a little bit more profit taking in grains. I'm living dangerously in here because I chose not to take my corn and my soybeans position out when they had that very good run over the two previous weeks, particularly the soybeans. And now we're in a consolidation phase, and the corn rather, excuse me, actually got within a quarter of a cent of my stop level. So I'll be lucky not to get stopped out of that. It is an in the money stop, but it would represent a profit erosion, which I would not be thrilled with, needless to say. The soybeans, I'm also living a bit dangerously. That's not quite so close to my stop, but again, we only had a peak here a couple of days ago, and it's still in a reaction phase. I look at the chart and I can't say that it's over. And what I hadn't noticed before, it actually had a very small Kitea reversal. I think it was on Wednesday. Now, this is a bullish fundamental situation overall, but the strikes over that I'd mentioned in the ports. And the there was a report out today, somebody else coming out with a report saying that maybe the Brazilian crop would be slightly better than some people had been expecting recently. This is all part of the mental noise, but the main thing is that soybeans had run ahead very, very strongly and remain here in a consolidation phase. I also have a in the money stop on this and protecting more of a profit than I have with corn, but I would not be happy to see this stopped out either, and therefore I'll probably need a little bit of luck in here over the next week not to. But again, it's all the background and way you trade these things. I picked those positions up on a conservative basis, added to them when they were moving in my favor, pushed the stop up to in the money, effectively giving me a free ride. So profit erosion is nowhere near as bad as taking a loss on something. And I think that's pretty much it, except I shall just apologize for in my haste yesterday, I had to head out of here early, and I didn't manage to get Chris Roberts' very excellent report up in the subscribers area to get the link up. But of course that was put up later on today, and my thanks to those of you who notified us of that. And I hope it doesn't happen again, but I can't promise. Have a terrific weekend.